Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
Well, so far, we have looked at three specific relationships that are ours because we are in Christ. We have the relationship with our Heavenly Father, a brand new relationship with the Creator of all things who has chosen to welcome us into His presence, lovingly and welcomed us into His presence because we are in His Son, Jesus. We have seen the transformed relationship that we have through Jesus Himself as He calls us His friends. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, chooses to call us His friends. And He shows it to us consistently. Once, through the death that He provided for us, His death on the cross proved and visibly displayed the greatest display of friendship that someone can show to his friend. And then daily and consistently, as He abides in us, abides with us, and cares for us as a friend who loves even greater than a brother. This is the friendship that we have in Jesus. Last week, we saw what it meant to be sealed by the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit confirms to us, like authenticates to us, that we are truly God's children, that we belong to Him, and that He is ours, and nobody can pluck us from the hand of Jesus or the hand of the Father, that we are doubly guaranteed that we belong to the Heavenly Father. What an amazing thing. The assurance that gives us, right? So amazing. Well, today, I want to kind of transition a little bit. We're still thinking about how being in Christ affects our salvation. What does our salvation mean because you and I are in Jesus? We looked at the three relationships, and then I want to look at three different positions that are ours because we are in Christ. The first position that you and I are going to see is found in that same passage in Ephesians 1 that we looked at last week. So let's look at it together. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. The Bible says this, in whom, in other words, in Christ, this is who it's talking about, in Christ, in whom we have redemption through His blood. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. I want to look at that phrase, in whom we have redemption. In Jesus, we have redemption through His blood. In Christ, I am redeemed. What does it mean to be redeemed? It's often a word that comes up in the Bible. It's a kind of a, seems like a biblical term, the word redeemed or being redeemed or having redemption. But what does it actually mean, right? Last week we talked about how the Holy Spirit seals us, right? How he verifies that we belong to God, right? That was one of the ways we described how the seal of something, right? It verifies that a particular good, something like when we were talking about how goods were being delivered and stuff, how that particular goods, those goods were verified as belonging to whoever's seal was on it. And in that context, we said that the Holy Spirit seals us, that we belong to God, that Christ paid for us, that we are God's, right? And that's kind of where this word redemption comes into play. It basically describes the how of your belonging to Jesus. How did you become Jesus's is the description here. It's basically pointing to what happened to give you that special position of being Jesus's, of belonging to Jesus. And I think you will be amazed at what Jesus was willing to do to make you His, to be redeemed by Jesus. So what does it mean to be redeemed? Let's actually start looking at it. And this is kind of what we're going to look into a little bit deeply today. What does it mean to be redeemed by Jesus. And we're going to start by looking at how Peter describes our redemption, okay? In 1 Peter chapter 1 is where we're going to look. 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to look at verse 18. It says this, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers." Peter says you were not redeemed with corruptible things. And in the Bible, redemption is actually a word that is used in connection with buying something. We talked about that, but it's actually really important to understand what redemption is talking about with the purchasing aspect, right? It isn't necessarily talking about like common goods, like food or clothing or things like that. It's actually for a very specific kind of purchase. It's talking about the purchase of a human life. That's what it's talking about. And, you know, in our day, we hardly see this at all, but in the Bible time, slavery was a very common thing. When someone would go to war, whoever won would, instead of killing everybody, they would make those they've conquered their slaves. And those who were defeated would become the slaves of those who conquered them. They and their children would consistently be slaves of their conquerors. It's what we saw the Israelites have to endure for years and years through the Egyptians, right? They endured slavery for generation upon generation. Literally, the only way they could escape from that slavery was only if somebody chose to rescue them from their position. It was impossible for them to escape, to get out of the position of slavery as a conquered person. Another way a person would become a slave is by going into debt. If the debt became more than he could possibly pay back, he would literally have to sell himself as a slave as a way to at least pay back part of his debt, right? Really, once somebody became a slave, there was hardly any way for that person to get out of the position of being a slave. There was only one way, a similar way to becoming a slavery through war, and that was that someone would have to pay the cost of his freedom. And sometimes that cost would be really, really high. Peter describes the cost of our redemption as something that was much greater than silver or gold. He says, and again, in 1 Peter chapter 18, he says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold." Now, time out for a second. Stop for a second, because it's easy to miss something here that's incredibly important, but easy to overlook. Peter and Paul both said, our redemption, like yours and mine, like we needed to be redeemed. You know what that means, right? If we needed to be redeemed, it means that we were literally in slavery. We needed to be rescued from slavery. You may be thinking, well, time out. Wait a second, Pastor Steve. You talk about me being needed to be freed from slavery, but in all honesty, I was enslaved. I don't have any specific memory of being a slave. Who was I a slave to? You know what I mean? What are these guys talking about? What are Peter and James referring to in saying that I was a slave that needed to be redeemed? And the truth is that there are many times that we have no idea how perilous a situation we are in until we are rescued from it. Let me give you an example. Let's say you're walking through a forest, right? You're enjoying the forest and enjoying walking through it, and suddenly you hear the sounds of a helicopter. And the helicopter comes right over you, and suddenly these guys come flying out of the helicopter in ropes, coming right to where you are, and they say, "We need you to come here as quickly as you can and hold on to this rope. You need to get harnessed in as quickly as you can. Hurry, please. they reach out their hand and say, come grab this rope. And so you see the something about what they're saying lets you realize this is serious. This is not something to be messed around with. So you run over to them. They grab you, put a harness on you, hook you to the rope, and fly out of there. As you're flying up into the helicopter, wondering what in the world is happening, you look behind you only to see that moments after you were there, a massive flood has taken over the very spot you were standing. You had no idea that a flood was on direct route to where you were. These men risked their lives, risked their equipment to come to save you. And you look back and it's like, wow, I had no idea I was in that much peril. Or maybe you go to the doctor for like a sore throat or something, right? And they take an x-ray to see what's going on and they discover that your heart is almost about to collapse because blood is not flowing through it like it should. So they rush you into surgery and the doctors work as fast as they can to repair your heart. After you wake up, you're surprised and shocked to discover how close you were to losing your life because your heart was not functioning the way it should have been. The danger was there all the time. You just weren't aware of it. And I think for most of us, this is a lot like we are with our spiritual condition. I think even believers who have been following Jesus for years and years, even me, I don't think we really get how perilous we were, what kind of condition we were until we actually get to heaven to see the full scope of our peril because of our situation. I think it's at that point where we see where we could have been and we see where we are that like the hair on the back of our end starts to stand up saying, I could have been there. That could have been me. I could have been eternally suffering but for the redemption of Jesus. This is really an amazing thing to think about. We may not fully grasp the magnitude of how desperate a situation we were in, but I think we can get a small glimpse of it. And I think that small glimpse comes from seeing what Jesus was willing to do to rescue us from it, right? What was Jesus willing to do to free us from our enslavement? What did he do to get us out of our situation? Well, if you look at 1 Peter, again, that verse 18, chapter 1, verse 18 that we were looking at, let's look at what it says again. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. You see, the cost of our redemption was so great. Even silver and gold were not nearly enough to rescue us from our slavery. In fact, it couldn't be anything that was corruptible. The cost was so great, it had to be something that would last forever. It was an eternal debt that was owed by us. So what did it have to be? What was the price that was required to redeem us? It literally required the precious blood of the Son of God. Verse 19 says this, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. It literally required the precious blood of the Son of God. It's the same thing that Paul said in our first passage in Ephesians 1:7. Listen to what it says. It says, in Christ we have redemption. How? Through his blood. If you look through the Bible, you will be amazed to see how many times redemption and the blood of Jesus is deeply connected to one another. Jesus' blood was the only thing that would be precious and valuable enough to pay the cost, to redeem us from our slavery, to rescue us from our slavery. And that's literally how bad of a position that you and I were in. And how oblivious we were to the situation that we were in. How did we get ourselves into this kind of depths of despair? How did we get ourselves into this kind of slavery? What did we do to get ourselves into this mess? And there's a big hint about how that happened in the end of verse 19. It says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. Do you know what this phrase, a lamb without blemish and without spot, what is that? What that's pointing to? It's pointing to something that the Jews in the Bible knew really well. In fact, when John the Baptist introduced Jesus to those who were around him, see how he described him. John 1:29 describes that introduction that John the Baptist gave to Jesus. He says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You see, a lamb was a sacrifice that an Israelite would offer in order to pay the debt of his sin. Listen to what Jesus says in John 8:34. He says, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant or the slave of sin. Whosoever committeth sin is the servant or slave of sin. Our sin is the very thing that enslaves us. It is a debt that is too great for us to ever be able to pay back. Hence, we are slaves. And this is what the sacrifice of the lamb was pointing to. You see, for the Israelites, the sacrifice of a lamb was a very solemn act. A lamb would come, he would bring a spotless, pure lamb, an innocent lamb. And before the lamb was to be sacrificed, the person who had committed a sin would put his hand on the head of the lamb. And it was a symbol of his debt of sin being placed on the lamb in his place. The lamb would be the receiver of his debt. The sinless, spotless lamb would take the place of the sinner. The lamb's blood would be shed for the sin of the man. It is true that the lamb could never really fully redeem the debt that the man owed because of his sin. A physical lamb, an animal, was never enough, because his debt was too high. The debt of his sin was much too great than a physical animal could ever pay. But you see, that lamb was never to be, it was never meant to be the full payment. The lamb was simply to point us to the only thing, the only one that could be the full payment of the debt that we owed. The only thing that could redeem us from the slavery of our sin. The lamb pointed to Jesus, the Lamb of God, who would take away the sin of the world. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away, who fully removes the debt of our sin, who fully and forever redeems us as sinners. Jesus is the one who fully redeems me and who fully redeems you. In Christ, you are redeemed. Jesus is the one who has come to rescue us from our slavery. Even when we may not have been fully aware of the situation that we were in, Jesus says in Luke 19:10, he says this in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Like rescue men coming to snatch us from our eternal destruction, he came to where we were. He stretched out his hand to us and he said, let me help you. Will you trust me? And with his gentleness and with his kindness, he snatches us up out of eternal destruction. Oh, how amazing is that? Is that not the coolest thing? Then he says, and think about the doctor aspect. He is the physician who came to heal us. Mark 2:17 says this. When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need for a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus is saying your heart is damaged beyond repair. There is nothing you can do to fix it. There is nothing you can do to restore it. Let me give you a new heart. Let me heal you. And in our humble repentance and in our trust in him, we put our hand on him as a sinner would put a hand on the Lamb of God. And he, in our place, takes all the debt of our sin and he pays for it. He pays for it completely, fully, eternally, with the most precious thing in existence, the blood of the Son of God. You are redeemed by the blood of Christ. It was that he was willing to give in order to redeem you. In Christ, you are redeemed. What an amazing thing. What an amazing thing to think about. Colossians 1, 12 through 14 says this, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. Think of all of the things that are ours. But verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Jesus came to rescue you from the kingdom of darkness, from the power that it has. And he came to rescue you into the light of his kingdom. And he did it through his blood. Dear Christian, you have been freed. You have been freed from the slavery of sin. You are free. Your chains have been broken. Your debt has been paid. Every sin, past, present, and future, every sin has been fully paid for, fully taken care of. And because you have been delivered from the power of darkness, you do not have to keep living in that power of darkness. You get to live in light of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. So live as one who has been redeemed. Live as one who has been freed from the power of darkness. Live as one whose debt has been paid. Live in the light of the kingdom of the Son of Jesus, the Son of God. He's yours. It's yours to have. It's yours to live. You are no longer bound by the chains of sin. You are no longer bound by that debt. So as one who has paid your debt, whose debt has been paid, live for the one who paid that debt. As one whose debt has been paid, live for the one who paid that debt. You're no longer bound by sin. You're no longer indebted to sins that you cannot pay for. You're free from it. So live like it. Live like it. If you have not trusted in Jesus yet, this gift of redemption is fully yours. It's available to you. And it's okay that you're not fully aware of your situation. It's okay that you don't know a whole lot of scripture or a lot about what Jesus has done or a lot about your situation. Just be aware enough that Jesus came to save you, that Jesus came to redeem you from your debt of sin. Every lie, every moment of pride, every lustful desire, every thought of envy or thought of bitterness or every self-centered thought or action that you may have done, let alone any of the other sins that you may have committed, Jesus came to redeem you from every sin that you have ever committed and every sin that you will ever commit. It is an eternal, everlasting redemption. Will you put your hand on him? Will you let him receive the debt of sin that should belong to you, but that he was willing to come to take on your behalf? Would you put your trust in Jesus, the Savior of the world, the one who has come to save us, to redeem us from our sins? If you will put your trust in him, if you will ask him to save you, he will do just that. And your life in him will start. And it is a life that is full of wonder, full of awe, and full of joy. In Christ, you have been redeemed. Thank God for that. Thank Jesus for that. Take some time this week to remember the fact that it was because of the blood of the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who was willing to sacrifice himself as an innocent lamb slaughtered so that your debt of sin could be fully paid for, that you are no longer a slave, no longer a slave to sin, but you are free. You are free. Praise God for that. It's because Jesus redeemed you. In Christ, you are redeemed. Thank him for it and live like it. Let's pray. Jesus, we are reminded again of a very amazing thing. Yet again, we are reminded of who we are only and fully because of you. You have given us so much. Even the position of being a child of God, fully redeemed. The debt of sin has been fully paid by you. For that, we thank you. Thank you so much for paying a debt that we could never pay. Thank you for sacrificing yourself as a lamb so that we could have redemption of our sin. Thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I love you guys. I hope you have a great rest of the week. As you go through this week, remember this, you're redeemed. You're free. The chains of sin no longer have a hold on you because Jesus set you free from them. You're not a slave anymore. You're free. You are a child of God because Jesus was willing to redeem you. Live in light of that. Enjoy that freedom. Enjoy the freedom to live fully able to glorify your Heavenly Father because of the fact that you have been redeemed by His Son.